Welcome to CUTV News Radio, where our hosts Doug Llewellyn and Jim Masters talk to today's top thinkers from all around the world to bring you information, inspiration, and thought-provoking ideas that you can put to use in your personal or professional life right now. Covering a broad range of topics, we dig deep to discover what makes today's top thinkers tick. CUTV News Radio, it's the show where ideas matter. And now, here's today's host, Jim Masters.
It's a pleasure to have you with us. Jim Masters here live on CUTV News Radio, 1 p.m. Eastern here at the Broadcast Center. We welcome our audience all across the United States and Canada, as well as internationally, to our broadcast experience of CUTV News Radio Live. Always a pleasure to have you with us. We're continuing our exclusive conversation and our thought-provoking and inspirational conversation with Pamela Wilson. She's a proven and trustworthy caregiving expert, advocate, and speaker, as well as author of the book, The Caregiving Trap. Her brand, The Caring Generation, began with the radio program of the same name. All of her help is internet-based. Her mission is to reach as many caregivers and aging adults as possible who are unaware of the proper solutions to the overwhelming challenges that caregiving presents. Family caregivers believe they can handle all the issues when, in reality, it's not the case. Caregiving is more complex than ever imagined. A year ago, Pamela transitioned from being on call 24/7 managing client care to offering caregiver courses and resources that are accessible online and easy to use. Her caregiver website, with content written exclusively by Pamela, eases the worry and frustration of family members seeking help and trustworthy solutions online. With 20 years of experience responding to caregiving emergencies, she developed online courses with the essential steps needed to care for loved ones. Her Power of Attorney course is about how to manage medical care and the importance of appointing the right power of attorney, in fact, to help with medical decision-making and caregiving needs. Her My Stay at Home course teaches caregivers preventative steps to avoid putting loved ones in nursing homes. Being in the comfort of home is the preferred option when family caregivers are aware of the steps to manage medical care, avoid care neglect, and to identify concerns that result in health declines. We are continuing our 8-week series of caregiving discussions with caregiving expert Pamela D. Wilson. And this is week number 2. If you'd like to go back in the archives to hear the first episode, feel free to do that in our archives. All of the shows are available 24/7. And mark your calendar, of course. She'll be back with us on the 20th and on the 27th of June as well. The topic today on this episode on June 13th, again, this show will be archived so you can share the link with family and friends and colleagues as well, is caregiving burnout and stress. Hopeless and helpless caregiving situations benefit from caregiving support, and most caregivers don't know where to turn for help. We are very honored to welcome back our very special guest and good friend of CUTV News Radio Live, Pamela Wilson. Pamela, welcome back to CUTV News Radio Live. It's a pleasure to have you back, and we actually got a chance to see each other not only when you were in our television studio doing the interview a month or so back here on the East Coast, but recently in beautiful Colorado, in that wonderful setting there. So good to hear your voice, and welcome back to the show.
Thank you. It's great to be back today, and it is another beautiful sunny day in Colorado.
Very nice. Rub it in. It's raining here. It is beautiful there, and you took me all around, and I really appreciate it. We had a fantastic time. And, we visited before in terms of the topic that we're discussing today and the incredible work that you do. But for listeners who may not know you, could you provide maybe a brief background of how you really help caregivers and aging adults? Of a caregiving expert, of course, including all the letters behind your name, education, why you love to do what you do.
Yeah, so briefly, I was a family caregiver who transitioned into caregiving about 20 years ago, and through that acquired all the education to be able to do what I do. So bachelor's in business from University of Nebraska. I've got a master's in organizational behavior from Colorado State. And then I'm a certified guardian and a certified senior advisor. And that really gave me the foundation for all of the work that I do. It requires continuing education and just guidelines on how really to be a professional caregiver and how to teach caregivers to be caregivers. So my mission today is really to help caregivers and aging adults avoid all these pitfalls in caregiving that I have seen, because I've honestly seen the best and the worst of caregiving situations. And so my goal is through online support groups and courses to help caregivers make caregiving better. And the subject today is how to manage caregiving burnout and stress.
That's right. Absolutely. You know, if you can, I know we've talked about this before, but it's always good to remind people, you know, because everybody leads busy lives and sometimes, you know, they don't always hear things or it doesn't, you know, absorb right away. Share how you actually help people. Maybe break it down for us. And of course, all important, how they can actually find you if they would love your services.
So I try to be everywhere, and this is because of what we'll talk a little bit more about today, but caregivers don't know where to go to find help. So I have a very extensive website that is PamelaDWilson.com, and there's a drop down that says how I help. So there is information about my courses, frequently asked questions about what is caregiving support, what is a caregiving webinar. I have a free caregiving library, which is called The Caring Generation, and then a newsletter. And then I'm all over social media. So my Facebook page is my name. It's Pamela D. Wilson. And interesting enough, so the news interview that you and I did on television, I posted it on my Facebook page. So for anybody that wants to see that, it's on my feed and it's in my video section. And I do daily Facebook live videos. So there are over 100 videos on my Facebook page in the video section for caregivers and aging adults about helpful topics. So visit the page, it's Pamela D. Wilson, follow me, watch the videos, share the videos. Then two other things, I have a YouTube channel that is also in my name. There are videos there. And then I started a Roku TV channel called Caregiving TV because I figured, well, if people don't want to find me on the internet or the radio, they can find me on television. So yesterday we posted 10 more videos there. And then I'm on Twitter under Caregiving Speak. So I'm hoping to be accessible to caregivers and aging adults everywhere, no matter how they choose to find information.
That's really important. And again, making it accessible and user-friendly is what you're all about. And you've designed it in a way that makes it so relatable for people. Because again, as you and I have talked about, they're going through some really heavy and heady emotional times. So as clear as things can be and as accessible as they can be and straightforward, the better. And everything that you've designed really does speak to that. With the online courses, support groups, website, everything. You mentioned that your website information and courses help caregivers manage stress. Do caregivers, men and women, experience stress differently from your perspective?
Very differently. So as women, we are very naturally empathetic. We're caregiving, we take on more. And I think it's because women, you know, have children, raise children, and then it becomes time to care for aging parents and spouses. So women take on more, and the downside is sometimes they do too much and they hesitate to ask for help. Men, on the other hand, look at caregiving like a job, and I'll share some research in a moment, but men want to manage caregiving. They want to coordinate caregiving. And when men and women work together, it actually can be a beautiful thing because the women will take care of more of the emotional side, the hands-on side of care, where men will want to manage doctor appointments, pick up prescriptions, make sure home repairs get done. So men and women caregivers actually can work together very well. But interestingly enough, I was doing research for a course last week, and I found two articles that I want to talk about that really stress, the stress of caregiving. The first article was from Canada, and it talked about a husband who was visiting his wife who had Alzheimer's in a nursing home. And he suffocated her because he could not bear to see her suffer. The point that I want to make about this is, you know, is that really what caregiving has come to? We have all of these supports for other things like alcohol dependency, very well publicized. Yet caregiving, which affects a larger number of the population, receives very little media or very little support, which is why my mission is to try to get the word out to caregivers everywhere that help exists. And I want to share a couple of numbers. So 15 million people struggle with alcohol use disorder. There are 65.7 million American caregivers. So the question is, why do we not support caregivers? Why is it not more publicized? We just have to get there as a society. And then another article, and this is more about the stress that male caregivers experience, was from Japan. And this is a sad statistic. This is a Japan statistic. So 70% of caregiver murder cases are men. Men in Japan, and similar here, but they don't ask for help. They very much hesitate to go to a support group. And because men view caregiving like their jobs, when they have to do this household care, this personal care, this, you know, awake all night being a caregiver, a lot of times they don't know what to do. And there was a quote in the article of, you know, a husband talking about his wife saying, well, I wouldn't mind if she died. We have to support caregivers. You know, caregivers can go to my website, PamelaBWilson.com. Help and hope exist. Caregiving shouldn't get to this point where we feel like, you know, murder is acceptable of loved ones because we're in so much pain or they're in so much pain. That's just a sad state of caregiving to me.
Absolutely. You should never get to that point. You are spot on 100%. Absolutely. You know, you have a lot of personal experiences, I know, of all different kinds, and we could do hours on the amazing things that you've experienced. Do you have a personal experience with clients actually committing suicide or even talking about possibly taking a life?
I do. You know, many caregivers, especially caregivers who are 24/7, so caregivers who do this day in, day out, caring for spouses with Alzheimer's, it's very difficult. So I actually have three stories. The first was a client of mine who experienced a stroke. His wife had passed away and he was very active. So he was, you know, this is Colorado. He hiked, he hunted, he had a dog, they were outdoors all the time. And the stroke was major. It affected his speech, his walking. And we had in-home caregivers in his home. And looking back, I now see that he planned his own suicide. There was a caregiver who would come to his home every day and make lunch. She would leave and come back at dinner. So one night, she comes back at 6 o'clock. He is nowhere to be found. The dog is going crazy. He was in his garage with the garage door down and the car on, and he committed suicide. My father, I will liken to that situation. My father, my parents were married 50 years. My mom passed away and my dad was lost without her. He called me one night with a similar story. He said, you know, I had to call you because I was in the garage with the car turned on and running and the garage door down. And I was going to commit suicide. The only thing that stopped me was thinking about you children finding me. I had to call and tell you I need help. And so for my father, we got him help. He was depressed, got him on some medications. He had a great few years to live after that. And one more story, and this was probably the saddest of all. I was involved with a married couple, and this came through the county Adult Protective Services because there were concerns about their relationship. The wife had broken a hip, gone back home. There were concerns about the husband taking care of her. And I had caregivers in the home, and they would help her bathe, and they would see bruises everywhere. And there was a point where she started talking to the caregivers about how he was physically and verbally abusive. And I saw the verbal abuse. I didn't, of course, see the physical abuse, but the caregivers saw it through bruising. So we reported it to the county. We reported it to the police. And on the last day that the caregivers were there, the wife said, you know, I don't think I'm going to see you tomorrow. I think he's going to kill me. She fell, broke a hip, went to a nursing home and died 2 days later. So caregiving stress is extreme. The things that caregivers go through are extreme, which is why caregiving support is the answer. Caregivers have to reach out so that they know that other caregivers are going through the same thing and to find ways to manage, because it's stressful.
Absolutely. Yeah, it really, really can be, and it can be overwhelming and almost feel debilitating. You just feel frustrated and stuck. And why do you think caregivers don't get help or might not even be aware that help exists?
You know, it's a couple of things. So part of it is they hesitate to get help because they think that they can do it themselves, or they want to be able to do it themselves. You know, none of us want to ask for help. The aging parents don't want help from their children. The children don't want to ask for help. There's also this degree of embarrassment or being viewed like, you know, we're not competent, like we can't do caregiving. But the big thing is people don't realize that caregiving is more than caregiving. It takes a lot more than love. It takes skills, believe it or not, that we learn in the workplace. Communication skills, management skills over managing tasks, prioritizing responsibilities, teamwork in working with doctor's offices and insurance companies. It takes advocacy. So caregivers think they can do it all, but they don't realize as caregiving gets more difficult, they may not have all the skills that it takes. And then on the other hand, they may not know that help even exists. So because, again, caregiving is not publicized, we don't talk about it. They don't know where to go to get help. And so if someone lives in a rural area, I've had clients in Steamboat, Colorado. There is not a lot of help in Steamboat, Colorado for caregivers. It's getting better. But rural areas, there's very little help. And if you live in a big city, you have to take the time. So drive to a caregiving support group. Find somebody to stay with your loved one. And that's overwhelming for caregivers because caregivers are already telling me, oh my gosh, I don't have enough time. I can't add one more thing to my list. But yet they don't realize that caregiving support can ease caregiving. It can make it easier. And again, I'll go back to my online caregiving courses. You could be anywhere. All you need is a computer and an internet connection, and the help is there. It's on my website. It's in my library. It's in my videos. And so if we can help caregivers understand that help exists wherever they are, that they don't have to leave home to go seek it out, that can make caregiving situations better and less stressful.
Which is the bottom line, the goal, and should be the goal of all of it. Take me through how your courses, these courses that you've put so much time and energy into creating and perfecting, Pamela, tell me how these courses work and how they help caregivers with things like burnout and all the other stresses associated with caregiving. And they can really come at you, you know, like darts sometimes, and when you least expect it and when you're exhausted and worn out and frustrated, and here comes more stress. So how do your courses help those who need it?
The first thing that we do in my courses is an assessment. And so I have a questionnaire that's online that I want caregivers to think about and tell me what is stressful, what is the present situation, and if you could wave this magic wand, if you could make this situation ideal, what would that look like? And so we talk about that, and then we talk about how do we get from A through Z, but we also look at a lot of the day-to-day caregiving issues. So if the caregiving is for a parent, what diagnosis do they have? And is there one diagnosis like Alzheimer's that is outweighing the others? Or is there something that was newly diagnosed that the caregiver just doesn't know how to manage. So we take mom or dad to a doctor appointment, and all of a sudden they need a walker and they need oxygen equipment because now they have a cardiac issue that we didn't know they had yesterday. So now we're thrown into this whirlwind of, oh my gosh, I don't know what to do. I'm worried about mom or dad. Their health is going to get worse. Stress. So the assessment is the first part to look at what is causing all the stress and the burnout. Sometimes it's family relationships. Sometimes there are brothers and sisters who are not helpful, and one caregiver bears the brunt of all the responsibility, and they're angry about this, which is very common in caregiving. So we start with what's, you know, what is the situation, what could be ideal, and how do we get there? And then we go through, in the stay-at-home course especially, what are the reasons that aging parents have to leave home? And can we prevent them? And can we be proactive? I'm very proactive about preventing all the things that I have seen happen, that I know that happen, so I can help the caregivers and the aging adults just avoid all of that grief. And then we go through medical conditions, how can we make home life better, what are the family relationships that are happening, and in the power of attorney course, do we even have power of attorney? Because that is another area where whoever the power of attorney is, they have to show up. They have to show up and do their job, and people don't realize that being a power of attorney, it can turn into a 24/7 job. I was a power of attorney for hundreds of clients. I was on call 24/7, 3 a.m. calls from the hospital, emergency rooms, me showing up. Power of attorney is just not this piece of paper that you throw in a drawer. It's a huge responsibility. And my courses help caregivers manage and work through all of that.
See, that's really important. And for people to realize that these resources are accessible and available is huge. You know, some caregivers or aging adults, they may be hesitant to take an online course or really not know how a webinar works. Is it easy, or are there prerequisites or special skills needed, Pamela?
It's really easy, and I think sometimes computers intimidate us more than they need to. I actually went through and I added a couple of pages on my website. So the first is, what is a caregiving webinar? Because if you're not in the workplace and your workplace doesn't use webinars or doesn't use a lot of technology, you may think, I don't know what a webinar is. How do I participate? So on my website, under the How I Help, there is a page that says, what is a caregiving webinar? And it's basically, the easiest way I can explain it is, it's like you're watching television on your computer. I do a Facebook Live every day. So anybody that sees my Facebook Live, they see me talking to them, going through caregiving situations and providing suggestions. So it's very much like that. My webinars are live, but they're also recorded. And so in my courses, there are recorded webinars that my participants watch. But then the very cool thing is I do live webinars. So on my webinar page, there are three videos. The first one explains, how do you even register? Where do you go to sign up, and how does that work? And you actually get emails with a link to the webinar page. And then, do you have to download anything? There's a little program that matches my webinar program that you actually have to download to your computer to get it to run. So great, you're in the webinar. Now what do you do? How do you chat? The second video on that page shows caregivers the chat box, which is at the right, and how you type in questions, and I will answer them live. And then the third is, if you really want to come on live to my webinars, how do you do that? I did a demonstration with a person about how do you raise your hand to come and speak and show up live. And the demonstration actually shows me and this person chatting back and forth on the screen live. So it's really a lot easier than caregivers think. And you don't need a lot of technology. It's not difficult. If you need help, you can email us and we'll explain it. We'll take you through it. But if you watch those three videos and go through the exercises while you're watching them, it really is pretty easy to do. And then the other question that caregivers ask is, well, what is caregiving support? Why do I need it? We added a page on my website with the 10 most frequently asked questions about caregiver support. And it's things like, you know, how do you help me? Am I going to learn anything? Is my information confidential? Because that is a big concern of caregivers. Yes, your information remains confidential. There's no, if you look at my website, there's no advertising. I don't sell caregivers information to anybody else. It doesn't go anywhere. It all stops and stays with me. So it's easy and it's safe.
Bottom line, too, and that's important for people to know, easy and safe is what people are really, really looking for. And you thoroughly enjoy doing this work, don't you? It's work that speaks to you from your own experiences. And we've talked about this in the television studio, on the radio, in person. You know, when clients work with you, when people are working with you and garnering all this great information and these resources that you've put forth, you are extremely relatable and empathetic because you've had your own experiences as well, that sometimes even mimic some of the conversations you have with the clients. And when they sort of emote and share their stories and concerns and fears of what's next as well, right?
I am so blessed to be able to do this work, and it really came through family tragedy. So people will see the loss of my parents and brothers and sisters and say, oh my gosh, I'm so sorry for you. And I say, no, do not be sorry for me. That opened the door for me to help people. I love older people. I love what I do. I know that I can make such a difference if people will take the step to get help. And, you know, it's funny. Some of my clients will say, oh my gosh, you know, I heard you on that radio show, or I saw you on Facebook, and, you know, I waited and it's been 6 months and now I need help and I'm contacting you. My suggestion is don't wait to get the help. Contact me so that you can avoid what might happen, what can happen. And to your point, I have lived, because I've been doing this for 20 years, there are a few situations that I don't have solutions for, few situations that I have not managed, and caregivers shouldn't be embarrassed about what they don't know, or that their families don't get along, or maybe that they're mad at their mom or dad today. This is life. This is caregiving. It's real. We have to be able to talk about it so that we can make caregiving better.
Exactly right. And you're doing it in such a beautiful way, in such an effective way. And I think that is essential. What would you say to somebody listening right now who is going through kind of what we're talking about now, but has yet to take that step? They're so ingrained in what needs to be done day to day that they don't necessarily think about taking those first steps to care for themselves. Because if the caregiver is not taking care of themselves or being cared for, you know, by others, not good, because then the caregiver gets ill as well as the person they're caring for. And now you've got two people who are pretty much in the same boat, and nobody wins then.
No, you have a caregiving catastrophe. So what I would say to those caregivers out there who are maybe depressed, lonely, isolated, feeling like there is no hope, there is hope. There is so much hope and there is so much help. But we have to take ourselves out of that negative rut that we get stuck in. And we've all been there in life, you know, in different situations. We've all felt at some point in our life that things can't get better and it's impossible and we want to give up trying. Caregivers, do not give up. It can be so much better. But you have to take the step. You have to take the step to go on my website, to ask for help, to find an article, find a video. Join with other caregivers in similar situations who can give you hope that it can be better, because it really can be so much better for you and for the loved ones that you're caring for.
Absolutely. Again, give us the best ways that people can connect with you.
My website, PamelaDWilson.com. My Facebook page, same name, PamelaDWilson.com. My YouTube channel, same name. And Roku TV, Caregiving TV in the feed. It's easy to find me. Just Google Pamela D. Wilson and I will come up.
Perfect. That's wonderful. And I want to make note that you'll be back on the 20th with another great episode, and then also on the 27th as well, as we continue our exclusive series here on CU TV News Radio Live, because the work that you're doing, Pamela, is so important. And as I've mentioned to you multiple times, it affects every single one of us, whether it's today or it's tomorrow. It will affect us. So to be prepared to, exercise prevention, to get the tools, resources, not wait until it's the 11th hour. Be prepared as much as possible. If you are dealing with the 11th hour right now, you are there to help as well. So, again, kudos to you, Pamela, for the beautiful work that you're doing. And we appreciate you being on the show today and looking forward to the 20th and the 27th as we continue the series here on CU TV News Radio Live.
Thank you so much. It's my pleasure.
You have a wonderful weekend and enjoy. And again, always a pleasure having you with us, Pamela. You are really amazing at what you do, and I encourage folks to make connection with you to learn more about your resources, courses, website, everything, because it's an incredible package you've prepared. Pamela D. Wilson, again, is our very special guest. She's an elder care advocate and somebody who can really, really help you, or somebody that you know who might be going through something and may be placed in that caregiving role. Thanks for joining us. I'm Jim Masters. Thanking you for your time this time. Till next time, stay tuned. In about 30 minutes, I'll be back with another live episode and another great guest. Till then, for all of us here at CU TV News Radio Live, we appreciate you being with us all around the world. Bye for now, and take care. Have a great day.
You've been listening to CUTV News Radio. If you want to learn more about our programming or perhaps be considered for a future show, visit us on the web at www.cutvnews.com. And if you enjoyed listening to today's show, subscribe to our podcast on iTunes or Stitcher and be sure to write a review. Thanks for listening, and from all of us at CUTV News Radio, we hope you have a productive and inspired day.